top of Windsor and Hall. And you'll find you'll never mind a rainy day. The sky up there, way up above.
The 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast present the Fire Chief program starring Eddie Cantor.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Jimmy.
Say, Eddie, I understand you neglected your radio school this week.
Well, I couldn't help it. Remember, I had to move from my Beverly Hills home down to my ranch. It took me all Thursday and Friday.
No, Eddie, you didn't move in all that terrific rain.
Terrific rain? Jimmy, yeah. What are you saying? California, what a deluge. What a... When the rain first started, everybody thought it was an optical illusion. When it poured for two whole days, people said it was just Florida propaganda. But when houses started swimming away, the Chamber of Commerce issued a statement saying, Los Angeles now has the greatest floating population in its history. And Jimmy,
yes?
Jimmy, I've got to tell you, during all that downpour, Jack Renard put on a bathing suit and floated down Hollywood Boulevard.
Really?
And people looked out of their windows and cheered.
Why?
They thought the fleet was in. I'll never move again in the rain, Jimmy.
Oh, what a time you must have had. I certainly don't envy you the job of moving.
It's awful, Jimmy. You don't know how much stuff you have until you start to move. Our attic was full of stuff that should have been thrown out years ago. Old pictures, old toys, old furniture, last week's program. How did that get in here?
You know, Eddie, you must have had a lot of personal stuff to move.
Oh, my library. Well, of course, Jimmy.
Sure.
I have two dictionaries and a whole shelf of grammar books. You gotta have them, Jimmy.
Yep, they're very valuable in our business.
Well, there ain't nobody which knows them things as better as we, isn't it? Give me grammar, ain't it the stuff, babe?
Eddie, is that your school bell?
Oh, yes, yes. I mustn't keep my radio class waiting. Come on in, Jimmy. Will you come on in? Good morning, pupils.
How do you do?
Children, last week I promised that I would answer questions concerning any phase of radio. Now, whom shall we call on first?
Me.
All right, you.
Professor Cantor, we find that in radio, the advertiser always drags in his product, either in a sketch or song. Is that good?
Well, there's nothing really wrong with that. Supposing the program of the future has 20 or 30 sponsors, and the actors would sneak in mention of all their products. Shall we demonstrate?
Yes!
All right. Viola, my darling.
Edward, my love. But you are late. Why?
I'm right on the dot. 4 seconds before 9 o'clock. B-U-L-O-V-A, Boulevard Watch Time. Tell me, where is your husband?
He just drove to work in his 1938 low-priced Pontiac 6 with the new safety shift gear control.
You are glorious. Such ruby lips, such white shining teeth. And I suppose Ipana has given you the smile of beauty?
Yes, just as Salipatica has given me the smile of health.
Adorable one. With your husband gone, we can be alone for hours.
You and I, alone. Alone.
Yes, and remember, a loan from the West Coast Finance Company with no cosigners is the best loan for you.
Darling, let us turn on the radio and dance. I feel like dancing in these new slippers made by I. Miller Fine Shoes. Bend down and turn on the radio.
I don't need to bend. It's a 1938 Philco. No stoop. No stoop, no squat, no squint, no radio. Now we'll dance, huh?
Oh, Edward, my sweet, you dance divinely.
Viola, my angel, your eyes shine as bright as the body of a car that's been simonized.
And you look, well, you look so fresh and clean.
You too can be fresh and clean if you use Lifebuoy. Just listen to the music.
Can't you just hear those saxophones made by the Wurlitzer Company on Wabash Avenue in Chicago?
Oh, Chicago. Home of Armor and Company, makers of Star Ham and Bacon, that delicious... What am I saying all of a sudden?
Listen, who is it?
It is I, James.
Oh, my husband.
Open this door, or I'll break it down with this axe bought from the Hammacher Schlemmer Hardware Company.
Oh!
You, I find you in my home, which has been exquisitely furnished by Barker Brothers.
Stop! You're not going to fire at me with that Ivor Johnson gun loaded with Remington bullets and shoot me through the heart, Schaffner and Marx. Are you?
Yes, in a minute there'll be more lead in you than there is in the whole American Pencil Company.
Give me that gun.
No, I won't.
Don't!
He's shot.
I'm dying. And how I loved life. Life with its comforts and its food at the Brown Derby featuring a dollar blue plate dinner.
Good heavens.
Thank heavens.
Thank heavens?
Yes. He's fully paid up in the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company.
Oh, in a moment, the police will be here and lay their rough red hands upon my neck. Hands that never saw Heinz honey and almond cream. Listen.
The 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast.
Lie down, Wallington. You're dead. Lie down. Ago on this program, I introduced a brand new song, What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life? And the course of the many requests, I repeat it tonight. What are you doing the rest of your life? How'd you like to count me in on everything you do? What are you doing for 40 or 50 years? I'd even take 60 years with someone like you. You're my idea of a love annuity, of a grand futurity, a heavenly security. What are you doing the rest of your life? How about you spending? How about you ending the rest of your life with me? What are you doing the rest of your life? Pretty, isn't it? It would never do for you to live your life alone. With you beside me, the future would be divine. Whatever is yours is mine. What's mine is my own. Typically Cantor. You're what I see when I see the rising sun. You're a song that's number one. A picture Mr. Walt Disney's done. I'd love a share of the best of your life. Won't you make your mind up? Say you're gonna wind up the rest of your life with me.
Eddie, yep. While you were singing your number, we brought a microphone out here on Vine Street in front of the studio to show the pupils how to do the Vox Pop program.
Oh, yes.
Well, look, Eddie, the people are beginning to gather around already.
Yeah, look, miss, would you mind stepping over to the microphone, please?
All right.
Now, tell me, what do you do, if I may ask?
I'm in the dress business.
I see. Can you name the third president of the United States?
James Madison.
Uh-huh. On what continent is Arabia?
Asia.
What's the capital of Pennsylvania?
Harrisburg.
Gee, Eddie, did he answer all those correctly?
I hope so. It's my daughter's Janet's homework. All right, sir, would you care to be next?
I'd be glad to.
Now, this is a tough question. What is the relationship of the diameter of the circle to the circumference?
The circumference of a circle is 3 1/4 1/6 10,000 times the diameter, which is twice the radius. Unless, of course, you subscribe to the other school of thought, which holds that a circle is a geometric figure, non-calculable, and definitely in the realm of relativity.
Say, who are you anyway?
Professor Quiz.
Oh, I'm fainting. Oh. All right, now this gentleman here. Look, mister, if you're driving your car at 65 miles an hour...
But I have no car.
Well, all right, so you get a car.
But I can't afford a car. What am I supposed to do, neglect my family just because you want me to buy a car?
All right, you don't buy a car. You just get one somewhere.
Oh, you want me to steal one, huh? Trying to make a crook out of me, huh?
Never mind the car for now. Let's say you're walking down the street.
What time?
Yep. What's the difference? Any time. Say 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
I'm working then. Want me to lose my job, huh? All right, I'll quit my job. Are you going to support my kids?
No, of course not.
Oh, you want them to go on relief, huh?
Who started this? Forget it. Hey, you, wait a minute.
Hey,
what are you pushing up here for?
Mister, look, does this go into the homes on account of it being a radio?
That's right.
Are you sure?
Certainly. What you say on this microphone is heard in the homes.
Ma, Sadie had a boy.
Wait. Gimme, you ask a question. Go ahead, would you?
Okay.
Go ahead.
How many times have you noticed a slight sway in your car, thought the steering was at fault, and found out that the real cause was improperly inflated tires? How many times have you thought your lights were growing dim when the windshield and headlight lenses had become clouded with road dirt, making it difficult for you to get a clear view of the road?
You can solve these problems by stopping at Texaco stations. Texaco dealers from coast to coast give your car circle service. They clean the windshield, rear window, headlight, and stoplight lenses. They note the inflation of your tires. Check the radiator and oil, too. Circle service costs you nothing. Yet it makes your driving safer, easier, day or night. Circle service keeps your car in better shape, helps prevent needless trouble and expense on the road. So next time, try a Texaco dealer.
James, do you notice that everything in our school deals with radio, even the scales on which we weigh the pupils?
I don't follow you, Eddie.
Look, when you step on these scales, instead of a marker indicating your weight, a mechanical voice inside the scales tells you how much you weigh. Watch me get on and listen.
Go ahead.
139.
Say, it actually speaks. I'd like to try it.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Go ahead.
185.
Huh? Eddie, if Jimmy can get on the scale, what about me?
Go right ahead, Renard. Go ahead.
One at a time, please. One at a time, please.
Professor, please.
Yes?
What type of music is most popular in radio?
Well, it isn't so much what the music is, it's how it's done and by whom. Here is a perfect demonstration. Deanna Durbin.
Deanna sings the Noel Coward song, Zigeuner, from Bittersweet.
Play to me beneath the summer moon. Zigeuner, all I ask of life is just to listen to the songs that you sing, the spirit like a bird on the wing, your melodies adoring. Call to me with some barbaric tune.
We take up the subject of hillbilly program.
Out of my melon patch. Out of my melon patch.
The Mad Russian. The Mad Russian.
How do you do?
You're a hillbilly?
Of course. In Russia, I was known as the Mountaineer of Minsk.
Yeah, you Minsk it?
Yes, I Minsk it.
My own Moscow. No. Get away from me. Some hillbilly. Why, I don't believe you ever saw a farm.
Is that so? Yeah. Well, I just finished planting on it.
You have a farm? Where?
Right on Wilshire Boulevard near Alvarado.
You fool? Why, that's Westlake Park.
No wonder I found four rowboats in my cornfield.
Get away from me. You're not fooling me at all. Why, a true hillbilly is a lover of nature.
I'm a nature lover, too. I like the butterflies. Yes. I like the bees. I like the little June bugs.
Yes, but you don't like me.
I do. I like all insects.
Yep, wait a minute. Again, with insults. If you were a gentleman hillbilly, you could be a success on the radio. Do you know Bob Burns?
Why, because Crosby's got four boys?
No, that's why Cantor Burns. What's the matter? Wait.
That's very funny. What's very funny? I don't know.
Listen, Mad Russian, I know a hillbilly when I see one.
I don't believe you ever saw one.
Sure I did. There are hillbillies on the stage, in the movies, and on the radio.
Say, who's taking care of the mountains?
Look, let me explain. Hillbillies are people who live in the hills and are known for their songs. Didn't you ever hear of mountain singing?
No, but I heard of valley crooning.
Yeah. Oh, so you listen to the radio.
My whole family does. My brother listens to you, and he holds his side.
Yeah, why does he hold his side?
You want to know?
Yes, I want to know.
Shall I tell her?
Tell me, why does your brother hold his sides when he hears me? From laughing?
No, from rheumatism.
Get away.
Eddie Kemper, if you know so much about hillbillies, let me hear you sing a hillbilly song.
All right, listen. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes.
You're no Crosby, you're no valley. A cat sings better in the alley.
She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. Oh, when she comes.
Now do you believe me?
No, sir. You're no part of a hillbilly. You're certainly no billy.
Well, I could be a hill.
Hill? A hill? Aren't you thinking of a heel?
How do you do?
Wait a minute. You know, in New York recently, a young singer completed his studies and went job hunting. As he knocked on doors, he didn't say, "I'm the son of the great Cantor Rosenblatt." No, he called himself Paul Dennis. He wanted to make good on his own. Because he's a fine artist, a real radio discovery, and because it's a novelty to find the son of a Cantor on this program, I'm pleased to present Henry Rosenblatt.
Put on the skillet, put on the lid. Mammy's gonna make a little shortening bread. That ain't all she's going to do. Mammy's gonna make a little coffee too. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread.
Three little darkies lying in bed. Two were sick and the other most dead. Send for the doctor said, feed those darkies on shortening bread.
Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread.
I slip to the kitchen, slip up the lid, slip my pocket full of shortening bread. Stole the skillet, stole the lid, stole the gal to make shortening bread.
Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. They caught me with the skillet, caught me with the lid, caught me with the gal to make it shortening bread. Paid $6 for the skillet, paid $6 for the lid. Paid $6 for the shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread.
Thank you. Thank you, Henry. Swell job of singing and swell job of baking shortening bread. Go ahead, Jimmy.
You depend on only an ounce or so of chilled gasoline in the carburetor to get you started on these cold days. And what a job that is for a gasoline. This small cupful of gasoline must take the spark in a flash, breathe instant life into your ice-cold engine. That is why Texaco engineers developed Fire Chief, a special gasoline for quick winter starting, with full emergency duty power to start even the giant motors of fire engines in less than 10 turns. Think what this means to you in your smaller, lighter car. That small cupful of Fire Chief in the carburetor, chilled as it may be, is more than enough to start you rolling. And then, your engine warms up faster. You immediately sense and feel the surge of its full power under your toe. Fire Chief, a special gasoline, is available at Texaco stations everywhere at regular gas prices. So for quicker winter starts, next time, try a Texaco dealer.
Okay, James, for your homework.
Professor Cantor.
Yep.
What is the idea of guest stars in radio?
A very good question. Guest stars are that little extra something thrown into a program. Remember years ago when you bought your meat at the butcher's and he threw in a hunk of liver for the cat? Guest stars.
Then you're calling the guest stars liver?
Yeah, that's why we cats have 9 lives. Now, here is one lifesaver, the finest juvenile actor in the world, Freddie Bartholomew.
Thank you very much, Professor Candler.
Freddie, it was nice of you to come here to visit our radio school. You listen to the radio, don't you, huh?
Yes, sir. I listen to 2 programs. The MGM Coffee Hour.
That's because you're under contract to MGM.
And I listen to your program.
Oh, my program? Why?
Because you told me this morning you'd appreciate the plug.
Yep.
Thank you, my little man. Thank you very much indeed.
You know, Mr. Cantor, you're an awfully good-natured stooge.
Well, wait a minute. I may be good-natured, but I'm no stooge.
You are while I'm out here.
Of course. I have a feeling you'll be leaving here very soon. Look, before you go, wouldn't you like to meet Deanna Durbin?
I'd be delighted.
You know, Miss Durbin's opinion of your histrionic ability approaches the nth degree in adulation.
Meaning?
The gal thinks you're the nuts. Say, at that, those grammar books did me some good. Deanna Durbin. Deanna, I'd like you to meet Freddie Bartholomew.
How do you do, Mr. Bartholomew?
I'm charmed, Miss Durbin. And I want you to know that I've always admired your great artistry.
I've also been thrilled by your fine performances.
You were wonderful in 3 Smart Girls.
You were superb in David Copperfield.
And you know, in 100 Men and a Girl, well, you were the last word.
To me, the outstanding acting of the year was yours in Captain's Courageous.
Did you children see Alibaba Goes to Town?
That scene in 100 Men and a Girl, where you cry.
And when they whipped you and David Copperfield.
You know, in Alibaba Goes to Town, there was one scene.
It was terrible.
Terrible? What?
Where my cruel stepfather whipped me.
Oh.
Mr. Basil Rathbone played the part.
Did you know my picture, Alibaba, was laid in Baghdad, the Orient, with its beautiful exotic perfumes and the music of weird...
We're sorry. We're not interested in travel logs.
Yep.
Now, Miss Durbin...
Honestly, Deanna, did you see my picture or not?
No, Mr. Cantor, but I heard about it.
Well, why didn't you go to see it?
She told you she heard about it.
That's very funny, very funny. I wish I had some good lines.
You know, Miss Durbin, at the present time, I'm making Robert Louis Stevenson's Kidnapped.
What's the story about?
Well, it concerns a little baby who's been abandoned in an alley. This little baby goes up and becomes very famous in the big city.
At last, Alley Baby Goes to Town. I got that in, huh?
I have to be leaving now.
Oh, Miss Durbin, couldn't I take you out some night to the Trocadero where we could do the large fruit?
The large fruit?
The large fruit?
The large fruit. You mean the big apple.
Well, goodbye, Freddie.
Au revoir, Deanna.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Deanna. Say, Freddie, if you're thinking seriously of taking Deanna out, that is, if you want to take out a girl now and... My house, we have, Well, there is, for instance...
You know, I was thinking seriously of getting married very soon.
Honestly?
Yes, you know, I believe that a woman would have a stabilizing effect on my career.
Oh, yes, it helped me a little... Is that so?
Yeah. How old are your girls?
I beg your pardon?
Well, I say, how old are your girls?
Well, you just name an age. I've got a girl that'll fit it. You see, Freddy, Freddy, I've got five girls. One married, one engaged.
And the other three?
Oh, they're on relief. Say, Freddy, do you think you'll be able to make a living for one of my daughters?
Well, Mr. Cantor, after a while, I'll probably be able to make a nice living for you, too.
Yep. Quiet there. All right, let's forget this Cantor-Bartholomew merger. Make a nice living for me. What could you do for my girls that I haven't done?
Well, I could teach them to speak English.
Oh, you could you? What's with my grammar books filled up with nouns and pronouns? What do you think I've been knocking around with the adverbs for? And a preposition? Besides, I'll have you know that I always carry a professor of English with me.
You do?
Yes, the best professor in English.
How do you do?
Oh, it's you, huh? Look, I want you to meet Freddy Bartholomew.
Freddy what?
Bartholomew.
Too long. I'm going to call you Freddy Bar.
Bar what?
Barmir, Mr. Shane.
Freddy, pay no attention to this mad Russian.
Do you know, Freddy Barr, that I was in London for 2 years, I was in Paris for a year and a half, and I was in Vienna for 6 months?
My, oh, my, didn't they like you anywhere?
My, oh, my, he's stealing my stuff.
My, oh, my, leave him alone, will you?
Okay.
Don't you understand, Russian, that this lad is a linguist? He has a well-rounded education.
Well, well, well. Tell me, my little Monaco. Where did you learn this education from?
You want to know?
Yes, I want to know.
Shall I tell him?
Yes. Yeah, tell him. Tell him, where did you get your education?
From the greatest tutor in the world.
Yes, the greatest tutor in the world.
Ah, Benny Goodman.
Get out of here, will you? Now, please forgive the intrusion. Will you, Freddy?
Well, of course, Mr. Cantor. Now, before I go, there's one question I'd like to ask you.
Yes?
What prompted you to enter the field of radio?
Well, I have five girls.
I asked you what made you go on the radio, not what's keeping you there.
Thanks, Freddy Bartholomew. Oh, do I miss a boy around the house. Freddy, we always knew you were a dramatic star. Tonight, we've learned you're a comedian, too. And speaking of comedians, ladies and gentlemen, next Wednesday, we're going to have one of the famous comedians in America on our program. I'm not at liberty to tell you his name right now. And before we sign off, may I leave this thought with some of you motorists, especially at this time of the year. Remember, alcohol belongs in the radiator, not in the driver. I'd love to spend each Wednesday with you. As friend to friend, I'm sorry it's true. I'm telling you just how I feel. I hope you feel that way too. Let's make a date for next Wednesday night. Good night.
Tune in again next Wednesday for another Fire Chief broadcast starring Eddie Cantor. And next time, try a Texaco dealer. Wallington speaking from Hollywood, California.
Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.